the time, but I do feel like doing it today again. We're going to read this chapter, and I'd like for you to stand for the... How many of you got your Bibles?
Amen.
The greatest book that was ever written. Amen. The greatest collection of God's sayings in one place. The greatest. Amen. Revelation chapter number 18. After this I saw another angel coming down from heaven having great authority. And the earth was made bright with his glory. And he called out with a mighty voice, "Fallen! Fallen is Babylon the Great. She has become a dwelling place for demons, a haunt for every unclean spirit, a haunt for every unclean bird, a haunt for every unclean and detestable beast. For all nations have drunk the wine of the passion of her sexual immorality, and the kings of the earth have committed immorality with her, and the merchants of the earth have grown rich from the power of her luxurious living." Then I heard another voice from heaven saying, "Come out of her." Everybody say, "Come out."
"Come out."
"Come out of her, my people, lest you take part in her sins, lest you share in her plagues. For her sins are heaped high as heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. Pay her back as she herself has paid back others, and repay her double for her deeds. Mix a double portion for her in the cup she mixed. As she glorified herself and lived in luxury, so give her a like measure of torment in mourning. Since in her heart she says, 'I sit as a queen, I'm no widow, and mourning I shall never see.' For this reason her plagues will come in a single day, death and mourning and famine, and she will be burned up with fire. For mighty is the Lord God who has judged her." Well, that's a long chapter, isn't it? All right, you can be seated. Amen. Good job. "And the kings of the earth who committed sexual immorality and lived in luxury with her will weep and wail over her when they see the smoke of her burning. They will stand far off in fear of her torment and say, 'Alas, alas, you great city, you mighty city Babylon, for in a single hour your judgment has come.'" Little do they know, their judgment is not going to follow far behind. "And the merchants of the earth weep and mourn for her, since no one buys their cargo anymore. Cargo of gold, silver, jewels, pearls, fine linen, purple cloth, silk, scarlet cloth, all kinds of scented wood, all kinds of articles of ivory, all kinds of articles of costly wood, bronze, iron, and marble, cinnamon, spice, incense, myrrh, frankincense, wine, oil, fine flour, wheat, cattle and sheep, horses and chariots, and slaves, that is, human souls. The fruit for which your soul longed has gone from you, and all your delicacies and your splendors are lost to you, never to be found again. The merchants of these wares who gained wealth from her will stand far off in fear of her torment, weeping and mourning aloud. 'Alas, alas, for the great city that was clothed in fine linen and in purple and scarlet, adorned with gold, with jewels, and with pearls, for in a single hour all this wealth has been laid waste.' And all shipmasters and seafaring men, sailors and all those who trade on the sea, stood far off and cried out as they saw the smoke of her burning. What city was like the great city? And they threw dust on their heads as they wept and mourned, crying out, 'Alas, alas, for the great city, where all who had ships at sea grew rich by her wealth, for in a single hour she has been laid waste. Rejoice over her, O heaven, and you saints and apostles and prophets, for God has given judgment for you against her.' And then a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and threw it into the sea, saying, 'So will Babylon, the great city, be thrown down with violence and will be found no more. And the sound of harpists and musicians, of flute players and trumpeters, will be heard in you no more. And the craftsmen of any craft will be found in you no more. And the sound of the mill will be heard in you no more. And the light of the lamp will shine in you no more. And the voice of the bridegroom and bride will be heard in you no more. For your merchants were the great ones of the earth, and all nations were deceived by your sorcery. And in her was found the blood of the prophets and of saints, and of all who have been slain on earth. Amen. Sounds like a sad epitaph, doesn't it? Yeah. The title of my message today is Get Out While You Can. Job wrestled with a very serious problem in the book of Job as he saw it. Why am I, a righteous man, suffering so much when the wicked are getting away with murder? Which led him to a very uncomfortable question. He wondered, how can God be righteous while the wicked do whatever they want without any observable consequences? It's a good question. Or maybe it should be asked like this. If God is good and righteous, then why is it taking Him so long to make things right in the world? When is He going to punish the wicked? When is He going to avenge His people who have been maligned, persecuted, ostracized, and even murder. Can I get an amen from somebody?
Amen.
I get it. I am there with you, Job. I'm right there with you.
Amen.
It's about time for God to give people what's coming to them.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So long as He leaves me off the list.
No.
Church, we're not alone in our angst and fury and longing for a better world. If you don't feel this way, then you need to hear what the preacher's preaching today. You better come out while you can.
Amen.
But if you do feel this way, then you might be a saint of God who is longing for the kingdom to come.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
When way back in Revelation 6, 9, and 10, when we saw the fifth seal open, this was exactly the cry of the church in heaven. Revelation 6 and 9 says, when He opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the witness they had borne. And they cried with a loud voice, O sovereign Lord, holy and true, how long before you will judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth? And God answers them with a very simple statement, just a little longer. Just a little longer. I know it can feel like forever, but let me tell you something. God is trying to save as many as He can. The Bible says He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to What is taking God so long? I'll tell you what's taking Him so long. There must still be hope that there's one more person who's going to change direction and change course and give their heart and their life to God. And so, church, we're here to hold on. We're here to hang on. We're here to endure. We're here to press through. Because God is still working, and that means we're still working.
Amen.
It sure would be nice if somebody would blow the dinner whistle. Amen. I know it can feel like it is forever. And we may even leave this life without seeing God's justice come to pass in its fullness. But rest assured, God has a plan to bring justice to His children. Jesus gave us a clue in the flood of Noah. And He gave us a clue in the judgment of Sodom and Gomorrah. These are unpleasant stories in the Bible, but they tell us about a God who is a just God. They tell us about a God who, yes, is patient, and yes, is forgiving. But when all hope has been lost, and when all attempts have been exercised to get people to change their ways, there will come a time of reckoning where God calls to account everyone that has been doing wicked and evil things in the world.
Amen. Amen.
Now, I'll just tell you that next week, I think, not next week, because next week is Resurrection Sunday. We have some different message plans, some different things planned, some worship and some readings from the Scripture. But after that, I believe the next message in Revelation will be more positive. Amen. Is that all right?
Amen.
We just take the Scripture as it comes. And we're at this place right now where God is calling accounts. In Luke chapter 17, in verse 26, it says this. Luke 17, 26, just as it was in the days of Noah, so will it be in the days of the Son of Man. They were eating and drinking and marrying and being given in marriage until the day when Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Jesus is coming again. Our Lord is coming back to earth again. And even before that end time outpouring, and when Jesus splits the clouds and He appears, amen, for the entire world to see, wreaking vengeance on His adversaries, let me tell you that there are going to be people that are going to get judged long before that happens.
Amen.
Something God's been doing all along.
Yeah.
He's not going to stop doing it because the end isn't yet. These teachings in Revelation are principles teaching us how God works. He warns you, He gives you chances. He forgives you, He warns you, He gives you chances. And time and time and time again. And up until the very last moment when you're just about to reach the end of your rope and God has about had enough with you, amen, He's ready to throw you to the wolves. Amen, He'll give you one more chance that is so obvious and slapped in the face, obvious, so dumbfounding, so jaw-dropping obvious that everybody around you will be wondering, what is wrong with you? God has given you every sign you need to let you know. This is your last chance.
Amen.
Take it. Get out before it's too late while you still can.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. In Noah's day, God gave them 100 years. We went to the ark in over by Kentucky, Noah's Ark display at the Creation Museum, and they had a little movie that they were showing about the interactions between Noah and the people of the land. And they had little, you know, reporters coming in and interviewing him and mocking him and laughing at him. But God will always get the last laugh.
Amen. Amen.
In Luke, He goes on, Jesus does in Luke 17 and verse 28, likewise, just as it was in the days of Lot, they were eating and drinking, buying and selling, planting and building. But on the day when Lot went out from Sodom, fire and sulfur rained down, rained from heaven and destroyed them all. So will it be on the day the Son of Man is revealed. On that day, let the one who is on the housetop with his goods in the house not come down to take them away. And likewise, let the one who is in the field not turn back. Remember Lot's wife. Stacy actually was watching some news reports when they had the wildfires in California this year and how it ravaged through the neighborhoods. And they were talking to some of the first responders and they were just dumbfounded. They were saying, you know, we're telling these people, get out. You saw some of that. Get out. And he said people were running into their houses and rummaging around for stuff. And they were telling them, get out. But they were so attached to their stuff that the threat of a wildfire wasn't enough to tear them away from their attachment to their things. And many perished clutching what they couldn't let go. In God's time and in God's plan, His judgment is sure to fall just as sure as the sun came up today. God has judged the entire world before, and He will do it again. God has judged cities and nations before, and He'll do it. That's what Revelation is telling us. What is Babylon? We're going to talk more about that in a moment. It's not anything new, friends. It's happened before. It's going to happen again. God has judged wicked individuals before. He'll do it again. God has judged the wicked and vindicated His suffering people every time. He is going to do it again. I know that the powers of this world seem unassailable. I know the political, military, and wealthy leaders of the world seem like they have everything under their control. I know it seems like there's no one or nothing big enough, strong, or strong enough to take them down. But friend, our God is big enough.
Amen.
When they were trying Jesus, and Pilate said, "Jesus, don't you know I've got the power? I've got the power to set you free." And Jesus looked at him and He said, "You are a lunatic. You could have no power at all unless My Father gave it to you." People talk about, "I worship rocks, and there's a spirit and a demon with this rock, and there's an angel over here and this and the other." And I just ask them, why are you fiddling around and fooling around with petty little spirits and demons when you could be walking with the Brother Gilbert, where you could be walking with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Amen. Amen. Where you can have the Spirit of the living God inside of you. I don't even worry about those things. I've heard some funny stuff about rocks, but I can't say it here. Amen. Our God is a lot bigger. You're a lot bigger than what you realize you are.
Amen.
When you have the Spirit of God within you. The Scripture says, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world.
Amen.
Does He work? Sure He does. Does He come against you and trip you up? Sure He does. Does He assail you, attack you, persecute? Sure He does. But so what? He's just a petty little imp. And the Bible says in the Old Testament, by way of prophecy, that the Bible says they're going to look on Him who shook the nations, and they're going to say, "Are you serious, Buzz Dyson? This little wimp?"
Amen.
"Was the prince of the power of the air? This is the Wizard of Oz? Back there working levers? Come on, somebody. My God is big enough. When my God arrives on the scene, the Bible says the earth will shine in His glory. Even the, it's no wonder that the Bible says, Sister Ashley, that the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light and the stars of the sky will fall. Because when our glorious Savior Jesus, amen, comes walking out of the spiritual realm in heaven and eternity into this physical realm, not even the sun can hold a candle to the glory that is going to shine when He comes. Ezekiel 43:2 says, "And behold, the glory of God, the God of Israel, was coming from the east. And the sound of His coming was like the sound of many waters. And the earth shone with His glory."
Amen.
There is coming a day when the wicked are going to fall and the righteous are going to be vindicated. How much longer, Lord? Just a little while. and the whole world is going to see it. I'm still trying to figure this one out, Wayne. You know, like with the laws of physics, you know, I'm still trying to figure it out. That how that Jesus is going to be seen simultaneously by everybody on a round ball. Think about it. It's going to be powerful, folks. Because he's not a candle. He's not a flashlight.
All right.
He's not a sunbeam that a little moon can eclipse. Hallelujah. But he is the presence of the Almighty. He is the glory of heaven. He is everything. He is not bound by the laws of physics and nature or the cosmos. Amen. He just spoke it and stretched out his hand and created it. Hallelujah. He's going to appear and every eye will behold him. And the nations of the world will fall and be shaken as he shakes, as he grabs this little blue marble in his hand and shakes it.
Amen.
Matthew 24, verse 27, Jesus said, "For as the lightning comes from the east and shines as far as the west, so will be the coming of the Son of Man." Verse 29, "Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken." And then Matthew 24, 30, "Then will appear in heaven the sign of the Son of Man, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory." The angel said, "This same Jesus who you see going away will so come again in like manner." And God help us where he finds us when he comes back. Hallelujah. Paybacks are coming. I said paybacks are coming.
Amen.
In Isaiah 21 and 9 it says, in Isaiah 21 and 9, "And behold, here come riders, horsemen in pair. And he answered, 'Fallen, fallen is Babylon, and all the carved images of her gods he has shattered to the ground.'" God destroyed the ancient tower of Babel. He burned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. He destroyed the nation of Babylon. And he is going to destroy once and for all the evil systems that have persisted since the beginning of time. Amen. Communist China, you're going to fall. Amen. The Soviet Socialist Republics of whatever that is, Russia, they're going to fall. Amen. Progressive, liberal, wing nut jobs, you're going to fall. Amen. Money hungry, power hungry capitalists, amen, you're going to fall. There is no system of this world that is going to stand before our God and our King Jesus when he returns to the earth again.
Amen.
Everything will be stripped bare and shown as how corrupt it truly is. Hallelujah. Oh yeah, I've invested in the stock market, but I've worked on Wall Street. All these preachers, you know what they look like? And I see all these preachers with their white shirts and their red ties and their nice tail. You know what I think of when I see them? Wall Street. It's a different perspective, isn't it? And I took my lunch breaks with everybody else, and they and these guys were down in the parking lots under the building, snorting cocaine and laughing and joking about what they're going to do on the weekends. Let me tell you something. God sees everything that's going on behind the scenes.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Oh, I love Doge and I love Elon Musk and I love what he's doing, but he better watch out. Amen. Because he's got a few more wives than what the Bible recommends a person to have.
Amen.
Come on, somebody.
Amen.
Solomon had them kind of wives. Got him in trouble, didn't it? You better watch out, friend. Amen. If you're not careful, you'll be caught in Babylon when the judge returns.
Amen.
Get out while you can.
Amen.
Because God's going to overthrow it all. He's going to throw Democrats, Republicans, Independents, Green Party, Purple Party. He's going to throw them all in the same vat of His wrath and smash, smash,
smash.
Isaiah 13, 19 through 22 says this. Isaiah 13, 19 through 22. And Babylon, the glory of kingdoms, the splendor and pomp of the Chaldeans, will be like Sodom and Gomorrah when God overthrew them. It will never be inhabited or lived in for all generations. No Arab will pitch his tent there. No shepherds will make their flocks lie down there. But wild animals will lie down there, and their houses will be full of howling creatures. Their ostriches will dwell, and there wild goats will dance. Hyenas will cry in its towers, and jackals in the pleasant palaces. Its time is close at hand, and its days will not be prolonged. You know what that's a picture of right there? That's a picture of modern day Babylon. Old Saddam Hussein built himself a palace. He built himself a little hill there and built a palace on top of it. And for a couple bucks, you can take a tour there in his palace. Windows all busted out and graffiti all over the place. You can see some of the bricks in the parapet on the one on the right there crumble down and fall off of there. Let me tell you something, friends. God doesn't play.
No.
It's been a long time since Babylon fell.
Yep.
Nobody's been able to build it back. And it stands as a warning sign. Get out while you can. God is going to strip away Babylon's wealth, her privilege, her beauty, and her influence. All that will be left is the rottenness that her former pomp and splendor was hiding. The rats who were relegated to the basement will overrun the halls of power. And let me tell you, the Bible says the sinners will be crying on that great day. You remember that song? Sinners will be crying on that great day. Who shall be able to stand? Ezekiel 26. I know, Brother Rob, you got more Bible verses than the squirrel's got nuts, but that's okay, amen. This is what we're doing. We're trying to help you understand the book of Revelation. Ezekiel 26. 16, then all the princes of the sea, talking about Tyre now, T-Y-R-E, then all the princes of the sea will step down from their thrones and remove their robes and strip off their embroidered garments, and they will clothe themselves with trembling. They will sit on the ground and tremble every moment and be appalled at you. And they will raise a lamentation over you and say to you, how have you perished? You were inhabited from the seas, O city renowned, who was mighty on the sea. And she and her inhabitants imposed their terror on all her inhabitants. God is going to pay her back double for her deceit, cheating, manipulation, and oppression. To the same level she enriched herself on the suffering of the masses, God will turn it all into ashes and torment and mourning. In one day, she will go from being a queen to being a widow. God's raging fire will burn against her and consume her. And the worldwide supply chain of evil will be cut off. And all those who got rich off of her and drank from her cup will weep and wail as the source of their wealth and pleasure is cut off. And just as Jeremiah took the scroll of prophecy against ancient Babylon and tied a rock to it, and cast it into the Euphrates River in Jeremiah 51:63. So God is going to take Babylon like a stone and throw her down and break her in pieces. God is going to send catastrophe after catastrophe, ending with a global catastrophe that will cause the nations of the world to collapse and usher in the kingdom of our dear Savior. So, does everybody understand what we're preaching about today? Y'all got the message? According to how you look at it, that's either bad news or good news. But what is the church supposed to do? How should we conduct ourselves in this world, knowing that it is like it is? It says in Revelation 18:4, "Then I heard another voice from heaven saying, 'Get out while you can.'" He's talking to the church. "Come out of her, my people, lest you take part in her sins, lest you share in her place. Come out. Get out of her while you can." That's what the prophet Isaiah told the Jewish exiles who were living in Babylon. In Isaiah 52:11, "Depart! Depart! Go out from there! Touch no unclean thing. Go out from the midst of her and purify yourselves, you who bear the vessels of the Lord." They were told to leave Babylon's idols and religious perversions and trinkets and bring the holy vessels from the temple back to Jerusalem. There is a danger in lingering where God's judgment is falling. Just ask Lot's wife. The Bible says that God sent angels to pull Lot and his wife and his daughters out of Sodom and Gomorrah, pulling the righteous out of the cities before he destroyed them. And the angel told them, "Don't look back." There's a lot of people who were on the cusp of salvation. A lot of people attempted to give their lives to the Lord, but today they're nothing but pillars of salt and ash because they looked back. If we hang around and buddy up with the harlot, we're going to be caught in the trap that God has prepared for her. And when he punishes her, we'll be punished right along with her. Get out while you can. Jeremiah 51:45 says, "Go out of the midst of her, my people. Let everyone save his life from the fierce anger of the Lord." Let me tell you something today. Out of love and out of concern for your soul, you better cut off ties with this world that you know are not only illegal, but they are a shame for a Christian. And they are a reproach on the church. It's time to stop pointing our fingers at everyone else and start minding our own business. Because judgment is coming. It is inevitable. And you're going to get caught in the middle of it, and you're going to lose everything. And if we're not careful, we'll lose the most precious thing, our souls. Paul told the church in Corinth, in 2 Corinthians 6:14 through 18, "Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers, for what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what portion does a believer share with an unbeliever? What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God said, I will make my dwelling among them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, go out." Get out while you still can. "Therefore, go out from their midst and be separate from them, says the Lord. And touch no unclean thing, and then I will welcome you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty." Brother Rob, how am I supposed to get out when I'm here? Hallelujah. Well, that's not an easy thing to do, is it? How can we live here and do business here and not get caught up in the coming wrath? I know it can feel like a difficult balance at times, but in the Bible there is no such conundrum. There's no commandment against owning a house or a car. It tickled me to see, it made me happy to see Tom and Tim and the girls driving around town in that old, was it a Mustang? Or, ooh, I thought, look at them all. Got the tops rolled down, and man, they live in high on the hog. There is nothing wrong with a car. There's nothing wrong with a retirement plan. There's nothing wrong with those things so long as they don't rule the roost in your life.
Right.
Amen. I can't make it to church because I've got more important things to do. Yeah, you've got a serious problem and you better get out while you can.
Right.
The Bible has a different concept on this. Luke 21:34, but watch yourselves lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation and drunken and cares of this life, and that day come upon you suddenly like a trap. For it will come upon all who dwell on the face of the whole earth. But stay awake at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are going to take place and to stand before the Son of Man. Brother Stacy, God expects a church that is healthy, holy, and helpful. A tipsy church is not a healthy church. A stoned church is not a healthy church. An anxious church is not a healthy church. A fearful church is not a healthy church. A church gorged on gossip and gluttony and entertainment is not a healthy church. A church decked out in the latest worldly fashion trends is not a holy church. If we're so caught up in the latest cultural trends and not caught up in the Spirit, then we're in danger. The Bible says, walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. But Brother Rob, that doesn't sound like much fun. If fun is your measure of a good time, you're in danger and you better come out while you can. Because if you're a holy church, you can get drunk, but not on alcohol.
Amen.
You don't need to run down the pharmaceutical aisle and grab you a bottle of Listerine and look like you're all good on the outside, but on the inside, your body is falling apart and decaying. Amen. I can get drunk all any day that I want to. Why? Because Peter said on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit fell on them, and fire set on them, and tongues of different languages were being spoken by the spiritual power that God was putting in them, and they were worshiping and dancing and being slain in the Spirit, and the world mocked, and they said, oh, look at the drunks! Peter stood up and he said, these are not drunk as you suppose. Yes, you can drink and you can get drunk, but you can also get in a prayer closet and come to a powerful Pentecostal worship service, and you can feel just as good as you do when you're drunk.
Amen.
You can feel just as truthful as you do when you're a drunk. But you won't be mad like you are when you're drunk. And you won't have a hangover like you do when you drink. Come on, somebody, and you won't be burning up brain cells. When I grew up in New York City, and we used to have a drug commercial with, and they'd have a scramble with a skillet with an egg and bacon scrambling it, and they'd say, "This is your brain on drugs." I have many friends today, and they have problems. They've been disabled. That they have to be in all sorts of have support systems. Why? Because they blew their brains on drugs. Let me tell you something. You don't need to be drunk on the drink that the harlot has. You don't need to be stoned on her witchcraft. Amen. You can worship the living God and be filled with the Holy Spirit and have the glory glory and the ecstasy of His love enrapturing your body, you can feel good and be a Christian at the same time. You can dance and you can party, hallelujah, and feel good about it and not be guilty about it later and not wonder what in the world trouble did I get myself into and not wake up in a drug cell somewhere, not wake up and not have a license for the rest of your life. Now wake up and realize that you violated somebody and now you're going to prison. The hard time is for you. Let me tell you something. Get out while you can. Amen. God's got better things for you. More enjoyable things for you. More satisfying things for you. He told the woman at the well in Samaria who was seeking and searching for all the things that the world could fulfill her with. And Jesus said to her, I will give you water to drink and you will never thirst again. Time to get out of that lifestyle. Time to get out of those sins. And time to walk in the Spirit and the light and the love of God. Let's stand together today. It can be fun to be a Christian. God expects us to be whole. He expects us to be healthy. And He expects the church to be helpful. What do you mean come out? What do you mean get out while you can? If we're so wrapped up in making a buck and living our lives and eating and drinking and caring for ourselves and our families that there's nothing left for God, then we're not going to be a helpful church. We're not going to be a helpful Christian. If we don't have any time to pitch in, if we can't be bothered with others, who are we helping? Well, the Bible says God helps those who help themselves. How many of you ever heard that before?
Amen.
Yeah, you need to help yourself, all right? You need to help yourself to an altar.
Amen.
Yeah, you need to help yourself, all right? You need to get out while you can. Yeah, you need to help yourself. You need to dump some things in the trash this afternoon. Amen. Clean up your act before the King of Kings and our Holy God.
Amen.
God helps those who help themselves. You better come out of that selfish mindset. There's going to be two groups of people when the wrath of God comes on this world system. Some are going to be crying because they've lost everything, but they really never had anything to begin with. The Bible says the saints will be shouting and rejoicing. Time for vindication is coming. And this is God's message to the church. You need to separate yourself from some things. Give us the determination and boldness to come out of that temptation that we love so much, to come out of the shadows of the darkness and begin walking in the light.